Everybody was excited last week for the discussions that were going to happen with China. The problem is, what next? Because it didn't go very far. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Suslow joins us. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And that is where we're going to kind of kick it off, Mike. Kind of give us your takeaway as to what you're seeing in this market.
Well, a couple things, Susan, and you and I talked a lot about the new East, new West political and trade alliance. We've been talking about it for the past couple of years together. I think the financial market over the weekend and at the Singapore conference that President Xi from China hosted, the financial markets are becoming reconciled and coming to grips with the idea that after that weekend SCO and the meeting between China and Russia, and they both inviting India into their corner, into their alliance, the trade is understanding now that this is something that probably is not going to be undone anytime soon as far as two different groups, both economically and geopolitically driven in different ways. And I say that because both China and India are in midstream with negotiations with the United States on trade. And Russia has been in negotiations and has pushed away President Trump's way to peace, as I see it anyway, in the Black Sea region. And so, you know, geopolitically, they have pushed away President Trump. India and China, I think, are pushing away the United States and President Trump. And I think that's why you had a new record high in gold on Tuesday coming back from the holiday. You had new lows in the soy complex led us lower without any specific progress being seen in the U.S.-China trade negotiations, plus just an overall negative mindset because of what I'm talking about. And yet the corn held up really, really well. And so it was a decided shift from the pre-holiday end of month of August close with the corn pulling everything up versus today when you had the soy leading us lower and the wheat wanting to go lower with the soybeans initially. But the similarities between these 2 days were really clear. It's still about either a corn-led rally, which we saw on Friday, or a soy-led decline, which we saw on Tuesday. And it was so important. Tuesday was so important to me because September soybeans still lead month futures. It actually did go all the way down to last week's lows of the 10.19 and a half level, and so far has held those lows up. But that's a really crucial number. So tight physical supplies of corn, weekly export inspections, less relationship between the corn and the U.S.-China trade negotiations. And then maybe something that's going to become more and more important as we go through the month of September is it's just too late for the corn to take on too much more grain fill, in my opinion, and especially in the central and eastern corn belt with these better chances for rains next week because of disease and just such an early crop dry down that I saw over the weekend on my drive.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that because there is some early crop development when it comes to early harvest potentials. But there's a lot, as you mentioned, disease concerns as well. So a big crop just seems to be continuing to get smaller.
It does. And you know, I would say it's both drying down and it's dying down in the central corn belt and parts of the eastern corn belt. I will say that I think Indiana, from the portions I saw, I didn't get too much farther than US 231 as far as getting any farther east than that. I would say Indiana was holding up better than the Illinois corn fields were. And I would say the other thing too is, how do we know it's disease pressure? Well, agronomists are obviously starting to get out there and tell us. Farmers are calling their agronomists. We know about the southern rust being worse this year. We know about the tar spot and not very certain about how that's going to impact us. But we also know, because what I've seen and probably what you saw too, going to the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, which is on the same track that I took, you're not seeing the same type of problems in most of the soybean fields. You do have problems, and maybe those will start to show up this month because soybeans, it's about September for them. But it's very clear, it was very clear to me at least, that if this is about the corn and the disease pressure and the high ground going because of drought pressure.
So looking at the other aspect of these markets today was coming out of the chute with some fast positive trades, but the cattle market has since kind of pulled themselves back a little bit.
Yeah, and this is what I was talking on Tuesday morning about with several people was we got such a nice setup as the August fat cattle and feeders expired on Friday. Very nice way to go off the board for the new contract months. Very nice way to keep the monthly charts very strong and supported, and also underpinned by continued cash strength. You know, we saw that 243, 245 level still being hit in our cash steer markets, 415 still being hit in that box beef market on the choice grade. But we also have to realize that summer grilling season's over, and I think Wall Street is going to continue to play an increasingly important role in this marketplace. And going back to our previous conversation with the record high gold and the rising VIX volatility index on Wall Street, we also saw equity markets give up a lot. Not a lot in terms of is it a high or did we take out any major support levels? Nothing in that respect, but we fed the bull a lot during the month of August, and I'm doing a new special report for my beef analysis for 2026, and it really struck me, Susan, that for both choice box beef and select box beef, about half the gains of the whole calendar year for those two were made in the month of August. And so we really did a lot of running and I think a lot of demand rationing in the month of August. So we got to be really careful. And it just says to me and speaks to me that not only do we want to keep an eye on the weekly close this week, but we also probably want to keep our marketings very, very current until we get a better handle on the supply side.
Could the hogs, they'll be kind of the sleeping giant in the background for this livestock market?
You know, they could be, but I don't think they probably will be at this stage. We had some PERS issues in Iowa, southern Minnesota markets back in June, early July. That sounds like it's coming back around and it's declining. If we would see that crop back up again, then sure, I think the hogs could go back up. But I think seasonally after the BLT seasonal, until we get to the later part of fall and the Christmas ham seasonal, and the fact that China is going ahead and, you know, trimming their breeding inventory for their hogs, it would seem to me you have more reasons for the hogs to maybe take a breather here and maybe go into more of a sideways or a channel type trading range and wait for more fundamental news.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Mike. Mike Zuzulo joining us with Global Commodity Analytics. And a quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.